It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday the 4th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, a health privacy summit kicks off in Washington, D.C. The topic, how the federal government can protect patient data. But there's also the question of how, if properly anonymized, big data collected from patient health records can help other patients even fight disease. Still, it's a sticky issue, as Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Apps that track what you eat, wearable devices like Fitbit that monitor your activity, millions of consumers, a treasure trove of data. The question, how to harness it and do something other than make money off it.
With these technologies, we can get to a space where we're getting more realistic data. It's capturing that kind of everydayness of health.
University of California Irvine's Matthew Beetz says the promise here is to see connections like how stress affects eating on a scale that's impossible today. But first, you've got to link businesses and their consumers with researchers. This week, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation launched a research network to help build those relationships.
While everybody agrees that health research is very important,
the University of Pennsylvania's Anita Allen.
There are concerns when the business sector begins to capitalize on the willingness of consumers to share personal information.
Allen says before consumers share their data to help solve some of health's most pressing questions, consumers must know they will be protected. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
This week, the European Commission announced a big new public-private partnership, and it's got to do with robots. What kind of robots, you ask?
Drones, driverless cars, medical robots, surgical robots, robots in your home.
Hey, maybe even robots that'll make you a milkshake. That, by the way, was Ryan Kahlo, assistant law professor at University of Washington. He says the 2.1 billion euros being put into the new program by public and private entities is unprecedented.
It's an investment that is the largest partnership around robotics in history, even on just the public money side, the government side, 11 times as much as what the United States has put into the same sort of role. It's a wise investment at one level. I mean, there are estimates that the worldwide economic impact of robotics across a variety of sectors by 2025 could be as high as 4.5 trillion.
The European Commission thinks the robotics industry could create almost 250,000 new jobs overseas within the next decade. And with manufacturing robotics already growing at a good clip, there's a lot of excitement in the field. But Kahlo says, just like the internet, advances in the industry require more considerations.
We need a legal framework and we need it to be, as robust as what we have around the internet.
Kahlo's written a paper on all this, by the way. We've tweeted a link. We're at Marketplace Tech. Today, Google will unveil new limited edition frames for Google Glass from fashion designer Diane von Furstenberg. I've managed to wear regular old versions of glass 3 times in recent months, and every time I've been awed by a gadget that reflects the ethos of its parent company. It was released before it was really finished and has been a major conversation starter about privacy and the potential of convenience. But there's a man who has had much more quality time with glass than yours truly. I'm talking Rory Ketlin-Jones, technology correspondent for the BBC. He's been rocking Google Glass for 6 weeks now. Rory, thanks for chatting with me.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
6 weeks. Are we counting bedtime? Are you wearing these things in bed? I won't ask about the bathroom.
I've been wearing it a lot. I've been wearing it at home. I've been wearing it around the office. I'm wearing it in the studio from which I'm speaking to you right now.
Okay.
My colleagues have been rude about it, I have to say. But what I found interesting is the general public, in quite a British way, not a Californian way, where they've been quite aggressive, I understand, have been interested.
What's the most common question you get?
What's it for?
Can you answer that?
Well, I've kind of reached the conclusion that as it stands, it is something of a failure because of that very question, what's it for? What it is very good at is taking pictures. It's when you move beyond that to what else is it for that you really notice that it's got problems.
That's not the glass buzzing right now.
That is the glass. I was getting a phone call. I've managed to decline the phone call by tapping on the side of the glass.
Now, it's only got, as I understand it, it has, I don't know, under 20 apps at this point, right?
What's really quite disappointing is, yes, it's been out there for a year. They've all these developers working on it, and they've not really come up with much. I think one of the problems, of course, is that this is an object for a really networked age.
Yeah.
And our networks are quite often not that good. And if I do a simple Google search, sometimes it won't respond, and sometimes it just doesn't understand me. That's the other big problem. It speaks American English, not English English. I wanted to put a caption on a photo I took of my garden, and I wanted to say, "Garden looking unusually tidy," in a rather British way. And it came out as, "Gordon looking for usual Thai tea." So didn't quite work.
Is this a piece of technology that's just simply ahead of its time?
It may be. This is for specialist use. I've heard of an oil company giving it to workers who are inspecting pipelines. So there may be great sort of industrial uses. What I'm struggling with still is what the guys and girls on the street will see that they can do with this.
Rory Ketlin-Jones is the BBC's tech correspondent. Rory, thank you very much, sir.
Great talking to you.
Also, when you're out Instagramming your relish-covered hot dogs and veggie Thai salads this week, you'll have new ways to turn up the contrast. A blog from Instagram says it's added new tools for adjusting brightness, saturation, etc. You can now tap a little wrench icon on the screen and make adjustments in the app. Just remember, guys, filters are great, but it's the quality of the photo that counts. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.